Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, September 17, 2023, Romans.
All right, first things first. It says happy birthday to Al. That's Deacon Al. Yesterday was his birthday. And Al has two schools that he is a part of, the Montana Grizzlies and the Washington State Cougars. And both of them won yesterday in football. The Rebels won yesterday in football. That's enough. And that Rebel game, I was here studying, so I always recorded that they lose, I delete it. And I recorded it and got home and saw that at halftime they were up by a field goal. So I said to Deb, how about we watch the recording of the first half while the rest of it's going on? So we watched it. And then when we finished watching the first half, I went to live, there was only 50 seconds left in the game. And the second string quarterback threw an interception on his first play. They ran it down, had a 30-yard easy chip field goal. And the guy that was kicking it had never missed one. He was 4 for 4. And I go, we're going to lose this game. It was all tied up. We're going to lose this game by a field goal. So I immediately got into serious prayer. And then as I was praying, I heard God say, I don't give a damn about football. And the field goal kicker came out and he kicked and he missed it. 30-yard field goal. Well, this freshman redshirt quarterback who came in because the starting quarterback was knocked out, he comes back in and throws a long pass completed down the sideline. The guy runs out of bounds. Our field goal kicker comes in, kicks a field goal, and the Rebels win. Beat a tough Southeast Conference team, the Vanderbilt Commodores. So, I mean, that was great. So after that, we went back and watched the recording of the second half. All right. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 6, the great chapter on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One of the most important doctrines that the church age believer can understand and apply skillfully and accurately to our own life. And that's what the Apostle Paul, in teaching this, he wants the royal family of God, church age believer, to totally understand what this means, identification with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, current positional truth. He wants every one of us, his royal family, to know exactly what that means and to think about it. And in fact, this is a fun class this morning because there's a word that we've had all the way through Romans chapter 4 used about 20 different times by the Apostle Paul, and that's the word logizomai. And it is a verb of imputation. And all throughout Romans chapter 4, it's used in the meaning of imputation. It's usually translated credited to our account. And at the moment of our faith in Jesus Christ, the justice of God imputes to each one of us the perfect righteousness of God. And that imputation is logizomai. That imputation of the righteousness of God to each one of us establishes the grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline, every single day, day after day after day, comes grace blessings upon grace blessings upon grace blessings. And we have that phenomenal security of God's grace blessings in our life every day. Well, that's how it's used in Romans 4. And Paul's still thinking about that as he gets to Romans 6. But now there's a second meaning of logizomai. And the second meaning of logizomai is to think. It means to think. Now, this is going to be new for some of you. God wants you to think. He wants you to think. Think. Think divine viewpoint. Think truth. Think about this doctrine and apply it skillfully and accurately to your life. That's how it's used in what we're going to be studying this morning. So let's start out with the corrected translation. Let's start at verse 6. Verse 6. And keep on knowing this, that our old man, that's the sin nature, has been crucified together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's retroactive positional truth. identified with Christ in his death and burial for two purposes. Purpose number one of retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that the body of sin, the sin nature, might be rendered powerless. Purpose number two of retroactive positional truth, so that we should no longer be slaves to the sin nature. Verse 7, for the one who has died, retroactive positional truth, has been freed from the power of the sin nature. Verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, first class condition, and we have through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, we believe that we shall also live with him, current positional truth, through the baptism of the Spirit. We're now in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. We are a new spiritual species. We are royal family of God. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ, because he received resurrection out from the dead, he can never die again. Physical death no longer has any rulership or control over him. Verse 10, for with regard to the fact that he died, his spiritual death on the cross, he died once for all with reference to sin, our personal sin. But with regard to the resurrection life that he lives, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, lives with reference to God the Father. You see, it's the Father who designed Operation Grace, the cross. And then when the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross, it required God the Son to, well, he made a free will decision. And he told the Father, yes, sir, in genuine humility, I'll carry out that plan that you have for salvation for mankind. The Father designed the incarnation plan for the Son. And the Son, the eternal Son of God, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit, but in genuine humility, he carried out that incarnation plan. He lived his life to the Father and carried out the plan of the Father. Now, this is very important for us because we are royal family of God and we are to live our life as unto God. So the spiritual death that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross was a once for all encounter with the personal sins of the whole world. This is theologically known as unlimited atonement. And 1 John 2:2 makes this very clear. The Lord Jesus Christ, is the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Unlimited atonement. The personal sins of all mankind were fully atoned for once and for all. Now that this sacrificial work has been accomplished and he has risen from the dead, now the Lord Jesus Christ lives this resurrection life to God the Father. From now on in his resurrection life, that life that he lives is fully oriented to God's infinite and perfect plan. The relationship of Christ both to sin and to God is precisely the way that the church age believer should relate to sin and to God. And that's coming up in our next verse. Preview the coming attraction. Here's the corrected translation of our next verse. So also, verse 11, on the one hand, you, royal family of God, church age saints, you should, and now we have the second use of logizomai, to think. You should think. You should consider yourselves to be dead with reference to sin, the sin nature, retroactive positional truth. But on the other hand, you should consider yourselves to be alive with reference to God in Christ Jesus, current positional truth. So the relationship of Christ both to sin and to God is precisely the way that we, royal family, should relate to sin and to God. This must be related to the baptism of the Holy Spirit at salvation at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. It must be related to both retroactive and current positional truth. Identification with Christ in his death and burial and identification with Christ in his resurrection. Current positional truth demands the believer live his life with reference to God. Now you are to live your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God the Father. The plan that God the Father has for each one of us. Union with Christ, current positional truth, demands a new way of life for the church age believer. And that new way of life is a supernatural life. It's the unique spiritual life of the church age. Never given in any other time in human history. First time ever lived was lived by Jesus Christ himself in hypostatic union and then passed on to the body of Christ. And we are the body of Christ, every church age believer in the church age. Positional truth demands a new way of life compatible with the resurrected life of Jesus Christ in hypostatic union and God the Father. Current positional truth establishes the principle that the unique spiritual life of the church age is a supernatural way of life and therefore demands supernatural power for its execution. So again, verse 10 says, for with regard to the fact that he died, his spiritual death on the cross, he died once for all with reference to sin. But with regard to the resurrection life that he lives with reference to God the Father. Now, in Romans 6, verses 11 to 13, we have the application of the doctrinal truth that we have been studying in Romans 6, verses 1 through 10. So, by way of introduction to Romans 6, 11 to 13. 1. It's one thing to be exposed to truth. Truth found in the Word of God. It's one thing to hear it. I've been here about 500 years, evangelistically speaking. And people have come and people have gone. And some of them, they come and, Pastor Olson, I know what you're saying, Pastor Olson, but I don't believe it. And you're free to do that. You're free to believe the truth of the Word of God. You're free to sit there and reject it and say, I don't believe that. I think you, Pastor Olson, are full of hot air. But if you don't believe it, then you'll never apply it. You can never apply it if you don't believe it. The Word of God is absolute truth. But you'll never apply it accurately. You'll never apply it skillfully if you don't believe it. And so people come, people go. Some believe it. Some sit there and don't believe it. My job is simply to teach what the absolute truth of the Word of God says. So point one, it's one thing to be exposed to truth, to the Word of God, or to know truth, Bible doctrine, but this is what the Bible calls gnosis. G-N-long-O-S-I-S. Gnosis. So you come in here, you sit down, and you can be even in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit. And I'm up here, filled with the Spirit, teaching the Word of God. I've been God the Holy Spirit through His teaching, illuminating and recalling ministry in my study. I'm able to, through that fantastic ministry of God the Holy Spirit, He guides me into truth in my study. Now, unfortunately, that works for pastors, but it doesn't work for the congregation. If the congregation is going to learn truth, if your personal study in the Bible, you could fill maybe a thimble with what you're going to get out of that. But you need to sit underneath authority, a student under authority to the spiritual gift of pastor teacher, under authority. And that takes humility. That takes respect for God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. And then, when the pastor teaches the truth, you're filled with the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit takes that pneumatica, spiritual phenomenon, truth that you've learned. It goes down into the left lobe, and the left lobe in your soul is called a noose. Not one that goes around your neck. But N-O-U-S, noose, left lobe, mind. You comprehend it. You comprehend what's taught, but it's just gnosis. It doesn't do anything for you spiritually until you believe it. Now, when you believe it, it goes from the left lobe, the nous, into the cardia. K-A-R-D-I-A. That's the heart. That's the right lobe. But you have to believe it. And there are believers that come in, they're even filled with the Spirit, comprehend the pneumaticos, the spiritual phenomena taught through the spiritual gift of pastor teacher and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, and then it goes down into their nous as gnosis, gnosis doctrine. They comprehend it, but they don't believe it. And that's totally up to every one of you. Have the freedom and free will to believe it or not to believe it. But if you don't believe it, you can never apply it. You will never apply it accurately and skillfully to your life. And there's no spiritual growth. You have no spiritual growth at that point. Spiritual growth only comes from believing the Word of God. And so, point one, by way of introduction, it's one thing to be exposed to the truth of God's Word, or to comprehend it, know what's being taught. That's gnosis doctrine. That's Bible doctrine in the nous, or the mind. Point two, but it is a totally different thing to believe the absolute truth of Bible doctrine. It's a totally different thing to believe the absolute truth of Bible doctrine. And that is epinosis. E-P-I-G-N long O-S-I-S. Epinosis. Epinosis means full knowledge, completed knowledge. So it's one thing to be exposed to truth. It is a totally another thing to believe the absolute truth of God's Word. This is epinosis doctrine. This is Bible doctrine in the heart, the right lobe. And the heart, this is the target. That's the target. That's for the Word of God. That's where God wants the Word of God to wind up. He wants it to wind up in the target of the cardia, the right lobe of the soul. Three. The only doctrine you can apply to your life is epinosis doctrine. Doctrine that you have believed and is in your heart. The only doctrine you can apply to your life is epinosis doctrine. Doctrine you have believed and is in your heart. Four. Epinosis doctrine in your heart. Plus the filling of the Holy Spirit. Living your life by the agency of the Spirit of God results in the application of Bible doctrine to your life. Skillfully and accurately applying the Word of God to your life, everything that's going on in your life. This is thinking. Thinking divine viewpoint. Thinking the Word of God. Thinking truth. That's what we have now in Romans 6, 11 to 13. The thinking, the application, the skillful and accurate application of God's Word to your life. Romans 6, 11 to 13. All right. Verse 11. And I love the King James here. Likewise, reckon. Are you reckon? I reckon I is. I reckon you ain't. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now that's the word logizomai, reckon. And that's a, we don't use that much anymore, but that's the verb for thinking, to think. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. This is the adverb houtos with the conjunction chi, plus the particle men, with the nominative plural of the personal pronoun su, plus the present active indicative of logizomai, plus the accusative plural of reflexive pronoun heautu, with the present active infinitive of eimi, plus the accusative plural of nekros, and the dative singular of hamartia, with the definite article. Well, we start out with an adverb. H-O-U-T long O-S. Houtos. And houtos means in this manner, or thus, or so. Houtos refers to what precedes. But it's combined. It's combined with the conjunction chi. K-A-I, and chi functions as an adjunctive chi, means also, and when you have The two together, houtos kai, it should be translated either thus also or so also. And so we'll translate it so also. And then we have the Apostle Paul using classical Greek. This is classical Greek all the way. Men and death. Men and death. And this comes right out of classical Greek, and it should be translated, men is translated on the one hand, and then de is translated, but on the other hand. So on the one hand, but on the other hand. And then the nominal plural of the personal pronoun su. And su means you. It's in the plural, y'all, all church-age believers, the royal family of God. And then we have our verb logizomai. L-O-G-I-Z-O-M-A-I, logizomai. Now, this is the verb that the Apostle Paul used repeatedly in chapter 4, and he used it with the meaning of imputation. The judicial imputation of the righteousness of God to the believer at the moment of our faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul used logizomai this way in Romans chapter 4, in verse 3, verse 5, verse 6, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 22, verse 23, verse 24. He used this same verb in every one of those verses as the meaning imputation. So, first of all, logizomai is a verb of imputation. A verb of imputation, if you have in your translations, you probably have something like credited to credit to one's account. To credit to one's account is to impute. And that's the first meaning of the word logizomai. And all throughout Romans chapter 4, that's how Paul used it. Paul is choosing this verb now, same verb, logizomai, in Romans 6:11. And in choosing this verb, he certainly is thinking of his previous use of it in regard to God. God considering believers to be righteous by faith in Jesus Christ, justification by faith. God imputing his righteousness to us, and therefore considering us to be righteous by faith. Justification by faith. So, the believer whom God logizomais, imputes righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ, should now logizomai, but now he's going to use logizomai in the second meaning, consider himself to be dead to the sin nature, retroactive positional truth, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, current positional truth. So logizomai is not only a verb of imputation, but it's also a verb of thinking. And now we have it used in its second meaning, a verb of thinking. So logizomai in its second meaning means to think, to consider, to evaluate, to ponder, to calculate, to make a conclusion. It's a thinking Its second meaning is thinking. The accusative plural of the reflexive pronoun heautu looks like that in the Greek. H-E-A-U-T-O-U, heautu. Heautu is yourselves. The accusative case is the accusative of general reference, and that means that it functions as the subject of the infinitive. The infinitive is a me, and you translate it yourselves to be. And then the adjective nekros N-E-K-R-O-S, nekros, that's the word dead. This is retroactive positional truth. Paul wants you all to think about this now. Not just to write down something. Think about what this means. And then apply it skillfully and accurately to your life. So, nekros is dead, retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial through the baptism of the Spirit. And then we have the dative singular of hamartia, and you're all with me on this one by now, at least you should be. Hamartia, H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A, in the singular. In the plural, it refers to personal sins, and the singular can be either the principle of sin or the sin nature. Here it is the sin nature. And then the dative case is the dative of reference and respect with reference to the sin nature. So the corrected translation, so also, on the one hand, you, royal family of God, you should logizomai, think divine viewpoint. Think about this doctrine so you can apply this to your life. Nothing to just say, repeat the words. Think about it so you can apply it to your life. So also, on the one hand, you, royal family of God, should logizomai, consider yourselves to be dead with reference to the sin nature. Retroactive positional truth. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Now the King James adds our Lord, but the our Lord is not in the original autograph. So if you have your King James Bible, you can just cross out our Lord. You're not going to get whacked by the Lord if you do that. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ. This is the post-positive conjunction de, plus the present active participle of zao, plus the dative singular of theos with the definite article, plus the prepositional phrase, and plus the dative of Christos Jesus. The post-positive conjunction de is the second part of the classical Greek men and de. On the one hand, but on the other hand, now we have death, so it should be translated, but on the other hand. But on the other hand, and then zao. Z-A long O, zao. Couple of things on zao. One, literally zao means to live. Physical life in contrast to physical death. That's its literal meaning. Two, however, here refers to the supernatural life of the royal family of God, the spiritual life that God has for us in union with Christ. So on the other hand, God wants you all to be thinking about this supernatural life He has for you. Here you are, this newness of life, that God has for you as royal family, this newness of life, this unique spiritual life of the church age. Think about it, understand it, and then apply that accurately and skillfully to your life. In other words, think about it so that you execute it. You live that newness of life. You're no longer a slave to the sin nature. Positionally, that's over. Now, experientially, he's still in your body, and you can go back. You can go back just the way you were as an unbeliever. You have a free will. But you don't have to. You're dead to the sin nature. He's no longer the ruler of your human life. Now you have a new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your authority. And now you have newness of life. Think about that and live. You don't have to be living by your sin nature. You don't have to be living in Satan's cosmic system. You can live this new in newness of life, this new spiritual life, and glorify God to the maximum. That's what Paul wants you to do. Think about this. So here it refers to the supernatural life of the royal family of God in union with Christ. 3. In other words, think about everything about this doctrine, the baptism of the Spirit. And with this word, think about current positional truth and this new spiritual life that we have. 4. So here we are, church age believers. We have been spiritually united with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and we have been united with Christ in his resurrection, current positional truth. Never happened before in human history. 5. This means we can now walk in newness of life. We can walk in newness of life. That's Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of baptism, the baptism of the Spirit, into death, retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that just as Christ was raised out from the dead, by means of the glory, the omnipotence of the Father, God the Father, so also we, royal family of God, might live in newness of life. And that's priceless. Are you living in newness of life? This is fantastic. 6. The first step to walking in newness of life is to logizomai. Think, consider, conclude this to be so. The first step to walking in newness of life is to logizomai. Think about it. Concentrate on it. So that you can apply it skillfully and accurately. So that you can conclude that this is reality. So that you can live this life. 7. This newness of life is the unique spiritual life of the church age. A supernatural way of life. Lived by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And by the power of metabolized doctrine in your heart. This newness of life is the unique spiritual life of the church age, a supernatural way of life live by the power of God the Holy Spirit, and metabolize doctrine in the heart. The present tense is the nomic present. This is a statement of general, timeless fact. The active voice, every church age believer performs the action of being alive to God. The participle is adjectival, serving as a predicate adjective. Consider yourselves to be alive to God. The preposition N plus the dative is the dative of sphere. The sphere is union with Christ, current positional truth. And then Christos Jesus in Christ Jesus. And then once again, the words our Lord are not in the original autograph. So, corrected translation. So also, on the one hand, royal family of God, you should consider, logizomai, consider yourselves to be dead with reference to the sin nature. But on the other hand, you, royal family of God, should logizomai, consider yourselves to be alive with reference to God, in Christ Jesus. Hoo-ah. We'll take a break, come back in a few minutes for part 2.